Good evening. Thank you for listening to our service, Temple Baptist Church of Asheville, North Carolina. If you have a hymn book, many of you do not, but if you do, it's hymn number 394. We're going to sing The Solid Rock, and Brother Worley is going to come and lead us. I also want to thank Miss Lauren for coming and playing the piano this evening.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Brother Worley. Ephesians chapter 1, I find it enjoyable to get into the Word of God as we're going through this time. One thing that is sure in our life, one thing that is already founded, one thing that does not change is the Word of God. And I want to challenge you as your home. It may get worse and it gets better before it gets better. I want to challenge you to really dive into the Word of God. And it's fun because in Acts chapter 19, we've been looking at Paul in Ephesus and some things that have gone on and God being used or God using Paul in Ephesus. And then we're going to go to Ephesians now tonight and study the first 15 verses in Ephesians chapter 1. This is his letter back to those Christians in Ephesus. So we get kind of a backdrop already of what he's talking about here. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Key words I want you to look for is in Christ Jesus, or in Jesus, or in Him. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all scriptural blessings to heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom to prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Lord, be with us as we look at your word. Speak through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul is giving us a positive outlook on life here. And I think this is something that we need every day, not much less even nowadays. We need a positive outlook on life. But it's not just a positive outlook on life, it's a positive outlook on the Christian life. Now remember that all of the scriptures are given for our examples, for us. They're given to all of us. We see this in the first couple verses here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So it's not just limiting that this letter to just that church at Ephesus, but all those that are faithful in Christ Jesus. And I hope that you, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to really think about that. I want you to think about the decision, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is accepting Christ as your personal Savior. Then your identity will be in Christ. Your position will be in Christ. Now this word, the term in Christ or in Him is mentioned 14 times in this epistle. All that we have as saints is because of our position in Christ. Everything we have, every blessing that we have is because of our identity in Christ, in Him. And that is that we have salvation. We know Him as our Savior. That is of the utmost importance, that you can answer that question, are you in Him? Are you saved? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You can answer that with a positive yes, with a confident yes. Because we are in Him, we have all spiritual blessings. How many blessings, Pastor Creed? We have all of them. Who has the blessings? The Bible says the faithful in Christ. Who is the faithful in Christ? Those who have placed their life, will, and future in His position. Future, life, will. Let's remember who is it that has called them spiritual blessings? The Holy Spirit has directed Paul to call them spiritual blessings. So what are these spiritual blessings? What are some of these spiritual blessings? Well, the Bible says in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is not all one sentence. If we read verses 3 through 14, it's not all one sentence. But it all reads as one thought. It'll give us that thought that Paul just keeps on speaking about the spiritual blessings in Christ. And so I want to go through the spiritual blessings that we receive in Christ. I want to remind us that we still have blessings in Christ Jesus. And so let's look at these. First of all, We are chosen in Christ. Chosen in Christ. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Now that's very important. The importance is that he has chosen us. Now, I'm not saying that this is the Calvinistic doctrine, that he chooses us. Now, understand that he's chosen everybody. He's chosen to send his son to die for us all. But he's also chosen us, knowing that we would accept Christ as our personal Savior, chosen us to be sanctified with him. We'll get into a little bit more about that when we get into predestination. But what a position it is. No matter what happens, there is no blame given to the believer because God has chosen us. Paul tells what that chosen was to be, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Thank God for him choosing to save us. Paul is saying the same thing that he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. We are what we are in him. If we could be taken apart from him, then we would be nothing again, just as we were before we came in him. This does not mean that we had no choice or that the choice was not our own. But we have the choice to accept Christ as our Savior. We had that choice. Every person has to make a decision for themselves. This is not what chosen means. We were chosen in Christ to become holy and without blame. Salvation is what God has chosen for us. Believe that now. God chose salvation for us. There was a void here. Everybody was condemned to hell. Our sin nature condemns us to hell. God chose salvation for us. God chose us for salvation. Now we must make the decision. Very simple. Love is a choice. If it's not a choice, it's not love. Sin is no longer charged to our account because we are now in Christ. Satan no longer has hold on us because we are now in Christ. We have a way to escape Satan and his tricks. We are no longer blamable because we are now in Christ. What a spiritual blessing that is, that Jesus Christ, that God chose us, verse 3 and 4. Look at verse 5. It says, having predestined us unto the adoption. Now, what does that mean? Predestination never refers to salvation. Think about that. When you're reading in your Bible and you read the word predestination, it refers to sanctification. We that are in Christ have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Christ Jesus. We are predestined to be conformed, to be sanctified, to be set apart from the world of sin, to a perfect Jesus Christ. This predestination will take place in each of our lives, and we must allow this to take place. This also is choices that we make throughout life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This will be measured and judged. Our life will be measured and judged. Our motives will be judged. Now, how do we become like Christ? There's different areas that the Bible teaches us to become like Christ, to be sanctified like Christ. We begin to act like Christ. We begin to talk like Christ. Our speech, we begin to think like Christ. We know in Philippians chapter 2 gives us that we need to be thinking like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to learn to pray like him. We ought to look at sin like he does. We ought to look at the needs of others like he does. We look at the things of this world with the same eyes that he looks at it with. We ought to be looking at others and loving others like he does. If we accomplish this now, in this life, boy, what a feat that would be. He does tell us, be holy, for I am holy. We have that opportunity now to be like Christ, to be predestined, to be separated unto Christ, sanctified unto Christ. Number three, what a blessing it is to be chosen for God, that we have an opportunity to decide about salvation. We have a decision to make about our salvation. Thank God for giving us salvation. Thank God for giving us the opportunity to be sanctified. But we also, look at verse 6, we have His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Now His grace has been given to us. His grace prevents His wrath from acting toward us. His grace keeps His justice from demanding our death. W.R. Newell says this, "Grace is God acting freely according to His own nature as love, with no promise or obligations to fulfill. Grace, therefore, is uncaused in the recipient. Its cause lies wholly in the giver, in God. Grace requires no debts to be paid. Grace does not help. It is absolute. It does all. Man under grace is not on probation. As to man's past life, it does not exist before God. He died at the cross, and Christ is his life. Grace once bestowed is not withdrawn." We could go on and on in this matter of the spiritual blessing of grace, but what a great spiritual blessing we have in grace. We can receive more grace, the Bible teaches us. James chapter 4, verse 6, "But he giveth more grace." How do we do that, Pastor Creed? We must humble ourselves. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Humble yourself. God wants to give you more grace. But what a great blessing that is. God chose us, God predestined us, and God gives us His grace. We also see He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. Look at verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Redeemed means to buy back what was once His. He thought enough of me to buy me back. Can you grasp that? He thinks of you. His thoughts are of you, that He wants to redeem you back. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child and forever I am. What a blessing that is. We are redeemed. He redeemed us from the law. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5 says this, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Verse 5, "to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." He redeemed us from the law. He redeemed us from the power of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, we read this already, but listen to this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We know that sin brings death. So we are redeemed from the law, redeemed from the power of law, redeemed from the power of sin. He has redeemed us from the power of Satan. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Verse 14, "in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." We see the next blessing. He is gathering all things together in Christ. Look at verse 9 and 10. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him." Now think about this. There are a couple of different gatherings in the Bible that we talk about. The first gathering is the gathering together of the church, and how sweet it is. I want you to know, I miss every one of you. I miss every person in this church. And when you're not here and we're gathered together, I miss you. I know I'm looking right now at a bunch of empty chairs. and I don't like this. This is very difficult for me as a pastor. I love the interaction with you. I love you as a church, and I miss the children. I miss everybody. I miss watching you and hearing you sing. I miss interacting with you in handshaking time. I miss it all. And I really enjoy the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I understand why we're doing what we're doing. But we're not going to forsake it. We're going to come back to it. But there may be a time, even in the next few minutes, in the next few days, where God's going to come back. Jesus Christ is going to come back. And the clouds will be rolled back. The trumpet will sound and we will rise. And that's another gathering that we're looking for. Amen. Titus chapter 2 verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope. That's what he calls the blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great gathering that's going to be when we're all going to meet together in the clouds. That means the past members of Temple who have gone on to be with the Lord, the present members of Temple, and all the other churches that are saved and baptized will be meeting up there, and we'll have a great time with Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is to look forward to. Look at verse number 11 and 12. Quickly, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. What a great word there. He has given us an inheritance. We stop and think of the price that God paid to make us part of his inheritance. It makes the spiritual blessing have a greater meaning. The inheritance that we receive. God has given us an inheritance. Now think about this. I think about these spiritual blessings and knowing that we have an inheritance with God. It's not a separate thing where God owns the cattle on a thousand hills anymore. We own with God that. God has given us blessings, and now we're inheriting all of what God has. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs means that he cannot claim his inheritance apart from us. We are part of that inheritance. Together we are. 1 Peter 3:7, we just studied this. How that husband and wife, it says, being heirs together of the grace of life. We are heirs together. We see the last one, number 7. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit in verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This speaks of ownership. It speaks of final transaction. It speaks of security. It speaks of guarantee. It's final. It's complete. We are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think of as we sell the bus, we're selling our blue bus now, and I think they're actually out there doing the transaction right now. But there's going to be a signature. Notary of the Public is going to seal that. There's going to be a stamp there. There's going to be a signature there, and that's going to seal that transaction. And I want you to know that when you were saved, Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter came down, and sealed that transaction. And that transaction has been sealed. You are saved. You say, Pastor, what if I make a mistake? Repentance needs to be a part of your life. You need to humble yourself and come back to God, but you don't leave the family of God. You aren't kicked out. You are sealed. The transaction has been sealed. I think of all these blessings in closing, how important they are to us as Christians. If a man by the name of Donald Trump walks into this auditorium and says, I'd like to give you a great gift. I'd like to give you a big gift. My mind would go to a lot of money. If someone else would come in and say, Patrick, I'd like to give you a great gift, I might think, hey, a great gift would be $100. A great gift might be $50. A great gift might be $25. But if someone like Donald Trump came in and said, I want to give you a great gift, I'd be thinking in hundreds of thousands and thousands or millions, man. Now we think about that. we think about our perspective of great gifts and what God has given us in great blessings. And we see blessings all around us, but what the blessings that God can give us is so much greater than the blessing anybody else could give us. Thank God for His blessings, especially at a time like this. We ought to praise God for what He's done and for what He continues to do and how He continues to bless us. Let's look toward that blessed hope, that time when we can all assemble together with Christ Jesus. Lord, thank You for Your many blessings. Help us now as we're sealed, chosen, predestined, Lord, be sanctified to You, to be Yours in Christ. Lord, help us to understand that doctrine, to understand that we had a choice. We have a choice. We have to make that choice of salvation. But Lord, thank You for choosing salvation for us, giving us that option. Thank You for helping us to understand we need to make the choice of being holy and being righteous. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Thank You for the many blessings You've given to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.